The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fitzroy, and you are listening to Cracking the Nature Code. Whales singing pop music, termites going to architecture school, ants harvesting in their farms. These and other such oddities of the natural world have fascinated me, as countless other humans throughout history. If you are curious like me, or perhaps you're feeling like something's missing and you're experiencing life as simply mundane, join me to explore these mysteries with humor and humility to experience the world in a brand new way. In the mists of a modern metropolis, a marvel of modern engineering is in the making. A mega project of massive proportions. A mighty and impressive skyscraper reaching 4 times higher than the tallest skyscraper in the world today. Built using the most sustainable materials ever found, and not only accomplishing carbon neutrality in energy consumption, but actually carbon sequestering in embodied energy. With a strong focus on sustainability, resilience, and an ever-growing population, this mighty structure is engineered to last for thousands of years. Its future-forward design not only provides residential and commercial real estate, warehousing and transportation, and critical infrastructure. But all while doing so, restoring its surrounding ecology, revitalizing the subsoil water table and nutrient composition, and providing many other vital ecosystem services. The success of this ambitious project would be proof that modern engineering has reached a new era of sustainability societies across the globe have been searching for. An era of engineering and sustainability to last and provide for all future generations. We are inside this magnificent cathedral skyscraper in the making. Standing in the central atrium chimney, which already stands 23 stories high. The laborers are hard at work, erecting the inner walls of the central and peripheral chimneys. A marvel of sustainability, this structure uses innovative, carbon sequestering raw materials readily found in nature. With minimal energy input for production and assembly of the basic building blocks, these are none other than clay, dung, litter, and spit. The master architect of this mighty structure is the world-renowned Humboldt Termite.
How about that Humboldt Termite? Would you have thought that such a tiny creature would have so much to teach us about the challenges our modern societies are facing today? Pound for pound, they are indeed a mighty species of the natural world. According to natural science resources such as FascinatingAfrica.com, the Howard Hughes Medical Institute's Biointeractive Initiative, and many other resources that I've looked into, they align their massive mounds according to Earth's orientation and ecological context, that is for maximum internal ambient efficiency. They build structures magnitudes of order higher than any building humans have ever built, and built so strongly that even their tallest structures can withstand being used as scratching posts by elephants and rhinos. Many of these mounds have been found to be as old as 4,000 years old and are still in use by termite colonies today. Compared to the termite's average lifetime of about 2 years, that would be equivalent to a human skyscraper lasting 150,000 years. But what's even more impressive to me is that these termite mounds are extremely beneficial to their surrounding ecology. They provide critical ecosystem services even in the harshest environments in the world. They enhance soil nutrients, maintain soil composition, and its hydrological health. That's from all the tunnels underground. This is where the termites actually live, in huge complexes made up of networks of chambers and tunnels that connect all the surrounding ecology. But what the mounds actually do is they act as ventilation and air conditioning systems. To me, they're engineering marvels. They function based on thermal and pressure differentials, some things that we're just discovering the last several decades by engineers and architects looking at nature to improve the designs that they were being taught in school. This type of study and application of structural, mechanical, and architectural methods which mimic nature is known as biomimicry, which in essence means the imitation of nature. I first became acquainted with this concept of biomimicry back in 2010 or so. I was working in the construction industry, and I was studying for a professional certification in sustainable building design. That certification was created by an organization called the U.S. Green Building Council. Since 1993, that organization has been working in the U.S. and around the world to improve all the methods of building design, architecture, construction, and operation. It's really great to see that these sustainable building design methods are growing in popularity. They're seen around the world now, and they use these biomimicry methods to maximize energy efficiency while minimizing waste, natural resource depletion, and also counteracting those negative human factors that contribute to climate change. And one of the biggest is definitely the mechanical air conditioning and ventilation systems. The National Science Foundation says that in the U.S., these mechanical systems account for 40% of total energy consumption and 75% of electricity consumption in buildings. But by following these examples from nature and removing the mechanical ventilation and air conditioning systems, something called passive ventilation is created. What is needed is a redesign of the architecture of the building to have a central chimney or atrium that goes all the way from the bottom of the building to the top. And at the very top, you have vents so that the air can go out. As you know, the hot air always rises to the top and the cooler comes from the bottom. So by putting vents at the bottom and on the sides of the buildings, the cool air coming from the outside is naturally pulled inward into the atrium of the building, where it is pulled by the hot air that's leaving from the central chimney. If you want to keep the building warmer, you only need to close the vents. And for that opening and closing of the vents, in some buildings, these are operated manually. But in others, there are mechanical systems that open and close the vents as needed. Even so, the energy is not being used in maintaining an air conditioning and ventilation system. But in addition to these ventilation systems, biomimicry has also helped in buildings in many other ways. For example, there's self-cleaning paints and finishes, which mimic the moisture-resistant structure of a lotus flower at a microscopic level. And there are also new sustainable concrete production methods, which replicate the coral reef formation by formulating a recipe that sequesters CO2 and stores it in the concrete mix, rather than creating and releasing greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, as in conventional concrete mix production. But even more so, at its core, architecture and design of the actual structures of buildings are the ones that have benefited a lot from looking at the patterns in nature. For example, coral reef and animal skull structure has also inspired architects and engineers to design their buildings' structural components following those patterns in nature. Can you visualize how the coral reef and the bone structure look at a microscopic level? When magnified, these types of structures make for very pleasant and natural spaces in which to work and live. with natural curvatures, columns, and the flow of air and lighting that is required for these spaces. And this is really critical because these methods not only save huge amounts of energy and raw materials, they are also lighter and stronger than conventional methods. And as we see these latest architectural designs in buildings and concert halls and many other applications, there's a very characteristic look to them. They are sculptural in a way. They are reminiscent of the curvatures and forms that are found in nature. My first response when I see these types of forms is that they remind me of being outdoors in the open space. I feel comfortable in them. There are undulations, curvatures, waves. There are no sharp edges. And one might think, when one sees these types of designs, that designers were using those curves and forms simply as visual effects, as sculptures, because these automatically produce in us a response, especially in the modern metropolitan mindset, of recognizing these patterns from nature. But the aim of these shapes and forms is not just an aesthetic one. These curves and forms actually result in the strongest and most durable structural components. The perfectly square and angular shapes that our modern minds are accustomed to are actually not the most efficient. These are the result of streamlined modern production systems, which favor speed and mass production. But before these new designs based on nature can become ubiquitous, new production methods will need to be developed that make economic sense. And if you find this concept of biomimicry inspiring, you should know that the concept is being studied and tested in all areas of society, not only in engineering, medicine, and transportation, but also in business, political, and economic innovation. If you want to learn more, check out sites such as biomimicry.org. But to turn back now to the question of shelter, just looking at the example that termites have to show us, it is worth recognizing that all animals in nature share this same necessity to have shelter, to feel nurtured, protected, warm. From organisms living in the ocean to organisms spending their days in the air, and all those terrestrial creatures that inhabit the earth, each one of them is in need of shelter. Some burrow in sand or soil. Others use branches and debris to create nests. Our closest relative, the orangutan, spends its whole life living at the tops of trees. And every night, the mothers weave together branches from the tops of trees to create shelter, a place for the mother and the baby to sleep. And when it's raining, the same branches are weaved together to create umbrellas or roofs over their heads. It is incredible for me to see also how many birds create intricate baskets, weaving hundreds of strands of palm hanging from trees, all just with their little beaks. And this is all just based on their ecosystem. It all depends on the types of materials that are available to them. So some other birds may not create baskets. They will take debris from the ground and clay and use their saliva to create nests. Hobbit houses, if you may. And as for us humans, we are the most dynamic species of them all. We burrow and we build. We weave and we weld. Our dexterous hands are able to build all types of shelter. And our incredible capacity to transport materials all over the world free us from having to use only local materials that are found within our ecosystems. And if you love backpacking, you know how gratifying it is to have a tent to come to, even in the harshest conditions, to hide from the elements. No matter what is going on outside, just zipping that tent and getting into one sleeping bag, it's the most wonderful feeling one can experience after a really long day hiking out in the wilderness. So, it is worth recognizing that every living creature requires shelter as a foundational and critical component to life. Life itself begins within a shelter, doesn't it? No lesser is an egg than a pouch, or a womb for that matter. And in closing, I'd like to leave you with this thought. I think we owe it to ourselves to find quiet moments in which to reacquaint and reconnect with the shelter we inhabit, the sanctuary we call home. I think that to do so gives us the opportunity to reevaluate its meaning and our dependence on it. And with one's relation reestablished with that place we call home, even doing chores acquires new meaning and value, which benefits us physically, mentally, and emotionally. And once the internal space has been reevaluated, one can then consider how our shelter can be of benefit to nature and the surrounding ecosystem, from taking care of an indoor plant to taking care of a fruitful garden. There's much one can learn about oneself by engaging with nature. So, as long as we're still alive and kicking in this nurturing home we call Earth, I invite you to keep on cracking the nature code.